Well, welcome everyone to the Westprint Sports Review, proudly sponsored by Westprint. They're based at 9 Pereri Street. Their phone number is 09 827 8531, or you can email them on westprint.co.nz. That's for all your printing, for all your printing requirements. Fantastic printers and great great supporters of the old Sports Review here on Planet FM. Wow, what a bit of an overcast day here in Auckland today, so it's just getting a bit tongue-tied, but I have to say, good weekend. Unfortunately, the weather wasn't that great on Saturday. Wasn't able to go out and watch Eden give Varsity a bit of a spanking. No, they were down 17-0 and they won 21-17, so great start for Eden. Unfortunately, we've got Ponsonby next week, but hey, we've still got a chance. And of course, the club rugby started. So hopefully the crowds are back. And I know one person will be happy with the grammar result. 58-0 over suburbs. My old mate, AJ Wetton. How are you, AJ?
Good, mate. And yeah, you do sound a wee bit croaky there. And mind you, you're getting a bit soft. I would have gone out and seen my team play. But
did you go out?
No.
Oh, yeah, okay. Here we go. Yeah.
58, that was a bit for suburbs. Boy, in our day, you know, we'd be happy to take 5 or 6 points. So, hey, look, a great start for grammar, but a bit disappointing. Suburbs not coming to front. So, hey. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, in a few weeks' time, Grandma will be travelling to Eden, so you'll be more than welcome to join me at the Eden Rugby Club. I might even shout to you a few beers if I'm feeling generous. And if the result goes Eden's way, I'll be, humble as I always
am.
Anyway, what a weekend. What a weekend of Super Rugby. The Golden Point weekend. Two Golden Point games in a row. We'll start off with the Saturday game. The Chiefs 26, the Highlanders 23. Some really good performances there. But Damien McKenzie, the match winner, seems like a 45-metre penalty with a great turnover from Leonard Brown, which got that penalty there. So what were some of your thoughts on that game on Saturday, AJ?
Well, I thought it's great to see the Golden Point. We get a result. They probably deserve to have a draw, to be honest.
Yeah.
But just about taking your opportunities. I mean, what a week of difference makes, eh? Mitchell Hunt couldn't do anything wrong. He missed the first three or four shots at goal, and he'll probably look back and rue that. But in the end, it was more than that what cost them. Some really good performances, I thought. Up front, they started pretty well. Gente's back and scored a great try off the line out. Good improvisation again. It's something we expect from Tony Brown and the Highlanders. You never know what they're actually going to do, and it proved a good 7-pointer for them. But in the end, I just think that a few mistakes, not holding on to the ball when they should have, and the Chiefs took advantage of that. I think the boy Jacobson, you know, played a big role.
Yeah.
Turnovers becoming one of his strengths. But a pretty even match, to be honest. It could have gone either way. They probably deserved a point each, but Damien McKenzie just got that golden touch, eh?
He certainly has, and of course, the drop goal attempt by Ione, I would say we'd probably miss both of us, but we'd make a better attempt. It was like a French cut in cricket. But I'm really impressed with Shannon Frizzell as well too, who recently signed. He's now signed through to 2023 with New Zealand Rugby. Fantastic game by him. But Luke Jacobson making every match count, and really, when we look at these mid-season tests, AJ, he's really got to be in the reckoning for the All Blacks.
Well, they've still got to try and serve that number six, I guess. I guess number seven comes into play also, and we'll talk about Artie Savera in a few minutes. But Luke Jacobson, playing well. We need that solid number six. He's right in the front running. But Frizzell, look, by all means, most yards gained. Always looks good with the ball. Just a couple of times, personally, just takes the wrong options. Probably just goes a one step further than should do, but certainly making most of his opportunities out there. Those two are certainly up there in the front running for it. But I just like the way they go about, the way they play. Pretty aggressive on the ball, off the ball, and leaders in their own right when it comes to their loose forward trio. So, playing really well. but they're not quite turning it into points, the Highlanders, and they'll be ruining that missed opportunity, but it'll put them right up there for that hunt for that second spot, chasing the Crusaders for a final.
They certainly will, and of course, then we'll move to the Sunday game. Now, I'll say this right now, Ardy Sevier was just fantastic. That 60-odd minutes he played on the field, he was just amazing. A few things like people are still sitting texting me going, was it a forward pass to Sever Reese?
I think they're a bit gun-shy at the moment, the TMOs and refs. They're under the microscope, and this kick in the air without retreating, God, I pull my hair out at times. But listen, when you've got the coaches both saying the players have to be smarter, I'll leave it there. But really, at stages, what influence were they having on the game? I do query it. I know there was some frustration from the players out there. No impact on what happened, but a penalty. And, of course, you know, that they turned those into points and quite costly for the Hurricanes. So something they've just got to be aware of. But Ardy Sevier, look, you know, even on one leg, he's a world champion out there, isn't he? The way he commits himself. Brilliant. And they certainly missed him that probably last 15 minutes or so. Turnovers, aggression with the ball. I like the boy Flanders for the Hurricanes. I thought he took it up pretty
good game.
Pretty hard on Blackwell. I mean, I don't think you'd find a more honest lot than the boy Blackwell for the Hurricanes. But once again, bit of ill discipline. Lamapi, again, just got to control that aggression. We know he's abrasive, but a couple of things off the ball. You can't do anything these days, Biggie. You know, someone will pick it up and they can go back. And you turn around from an opportunity to score a try to a penalty going the other way and it gets them out of jail. It was so tight, it came down to those little things. And just the Crusaders, just a wee bit smarter and a bit more accurate when it came to those clutch points.
They certainly were, and of course, you know, the golden point, the drop goal by David Havili, but, you know, which came off a charge down by the Hurricanes, and that comes down to pressure as well too, AJ. Just some of the concerning matters was obviously Ardy went off, and there's no reports that his injury is serious, but serious injuries to Jack Goodhue and Joe Moody, real concerns for the All Blacks.
It didn't look good, did it? And, you know, these guys are tough down in Crusader country. You know, you'd have to drag them off, and they both look very suspect. So, look, touch wood. Hopefully the injuries aren't too serious. But knowing that they should be out, you know, possibly for a couple of weeks at least. So, the Crusaders were travelling so well, but they've been under a bit of pressure. They came through on this one, but there's just a bit of light at the end of the tunnel for the other teams competing. They're not quite at their peak, or the other teams have lifted their game. I thought Barrett and, again, Whitelock, they're the engine room of that forward pack. Never a bad game between them. You know, good to see Callum Grace out there having a run. God, he's a big brute of a boy.
Oh, yeah.
But a real classic encounter. Really enjoyed the physicality of it. I thought the boy would love playing his first game at first five.
Yep.
Jeepers. He seemed very comfortable there, Piggy. Well done to him. And I thought it was just a real classic game, one I enjoyed. Came down to the wire, golden point. And how many people would have been cheering for the Hurricanes? Oh, well, I'm sure there would have been plenty. But a good game of rugby to finish the weekend.
It certainly was. And, of course, we'll move on to next week. The Blues are away at the Highlanders. And, of course, the Crusaders have to travel to Hamilton. And that game could be really interesting, AJ, because I think the Chiefs, there seems to be a lot of confidence at the moment with the Chiefs.
Yeah, but look, they could have won for 11 matches in a row, was it? Now they've won 3 in a row. So playing them at home, they seem to grow an extra arm and a leg. And if the Crusaders win this one, well, they're definitely through to the final. They're
probably a home final too.
Yeah, but someone's going to beat them away from home. It'll be the Chiefs. This will be a tough one. They've got a few injury niggles, the Crusaders. They've had to be pushed hard the last two matches. So this will be a test of their bench. And playing at home against a fired-up Chiefs side, Jacobson leading the way. They've got Weber there at halfback and Trask, you know, growing in confidence. Yeah, watch this game. She's going to be a beauty.
I think it's going to be the game of the round, because I just think that the Crusaders, the biggest thing is now the injuries are beginning to happen. Their depth is going to be really tested, AJ. The Blues Highlanders, well, really, the Blues need a good result here because they're now under pressure. They're getting pressure from the Chiefs for that final spot.
Yep, I know. It's all set up there. They have to win. That's it. Going down to the Highlanders, we know down there it's not easy. One thing they all like to do is take down the Blues, the City Slickers, the Jaffers from Auckland, even though their season is probably gone in regards to making the final, you're going to have to earn the points hard. So the Blues, if they really want it, they will beat the Highlanders. And if they're not there mentally, watch out, because the Highlanders can see their season coming with some credibility if they take down the Blues this weekend.
Well, yeah, and of course it's the old adder when you have the T-shirt south of the Bombays, anyone but Auckland.
It's true, but hey, that's good. Everyone picks up their game and it just creates a lot of interest. So it's all there for them, the Blues. They need to pick up a bit where they left off from last time, following last week against the Hurricanes. So big step up on their road to try and secure a final. So it'll all start this weekend.
It certainly will, AJ. And, of course, I'll be looking forward to those games as well as going out. I've got to go out to Western Springs this weekend. Hopefully Eden can beat the side who plays at Western Springs, which should be a cricket ground with all the All Blacks and, you know, like... Anyway, I won't go on that, but I'm back at Eden against Ponsonby and I'm not going to take bets on
good
the game. But, yeah.
Stick to your club.
Stick to your club, but that's it. Hey, AJ, as per usual, you have been fantastic. A fantastic insight into the weekend. And, of course, next week we'll be talking as much as we will, because we don't know which shape this competition is gonna take. We know one thing, the Crusaders are there. I can't see them not making the final, but it's probably the Blues and the Chiefs. They've both got something to prove.
Well, let's see what it's all comes to the weekend. If they want it bad enough, they'll do the job, Piggy. So watch Sky TV, because I will be. It'll be a cracker.
Certainly. And you have a great week, AJ, and we'll catch up next week.
Oh, looking forward to it, Piggy. You take care.
Cheers, mate. Bye. AJ Wetton, fantastic analyst on the game, isn't he? Just a good rugby bloke, and I'm looking forward to catching up with him when he comes down to Eden Rugby Club, when Eden are playing Grammar. I think there'll be a few beverages sunk that day, but anyway, bit of music, and we've got Blue McClanahan on next. Welcome everyone back to the Westpin Sports Review here on Planet FM, and of course Big weekend of NRL, and of course joining us is former Kiwis coach, former Leeds Rhinos coach, former New Zealand Warriors coach, and a great supporter of the local game here in Auckland, Bluey McLennan. G'day, Bluey. How are you, mate?
Good, Piggy. How you doing?
Good, mate. Good. Hey, before we kick into the Warriors, Tommy Radonegas, one of the real characters of the game, died last week. I know that you probably, we were just discussing it off air, your father was part of that 1971 Kiwi side that played against Australia and won 24-3 at Carlisle Park. He would have had he would have met the great man Tommy Radonegas.
Yeah, he did. Because back in those days, they would all hang out afterwards and go and have a few beers. And the old man was telling me that the hotel they were at, he saw Tommy pull out a live goldfish and ate a goldfish in front of everyone. So he's a bit of a character. So.
Yeah. Well, if he'd done it these days, he'd be in a huge trouble, wouldn't he? You know. Could you imagine what the NRL ethics committee will be looking at him now? They just shake their head. Is it you again, Tommy? But I always found him one of the real tough characters. He was just a blue collar rugby league type of bloke who was just worked hard. You know, said what he thought. Really, if he had a different opinion, he didn't really care. He was going to put his opinion across there. Joey Johns has a great thing when he was injured and had to come off the field at Origin. He said he was half knocked out, but he could smell the smell of Winfield Blues, Winfield Red cigarettes, and Tommy tell him in no uncertain term and language, which you can't use on radio, to get out there and win the game for them. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, Tommy epitomise that old school and you know, the old school values of how they played, and also the Aussie larrikin. There's Tommy, and so yeah, much respect to him and his family. And you know, we as leagueies, we've lost a real colourful character in Tommy Radonegas.
Certainly is, yeah. I will miss some of his comments, so yes. Hey, listen, we might as well kick off with the Warriors. Went down to Manly 13 points to 12, really Bluey. If they want to be serious about top eight, they've really got to win these games.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it better, Piggy. That's where it lies. You know, you got to win the close ones, and in all reality, like they have in the past, have had trouble with Manly. So you've got to go into the game with your eyes wide open. I thought it looked like they'd changed their attack up a bit. They, you know, at the start, they were shifting it pretty early, and that's okay, provided you're going to be prepared to punch some holes and play at the back of the ruck. You know, you can shift to try and get the spaces a little wider or... You know, and but they just, it was like a window wiper. They just went from one side to the other side, and it was like they changed their attack a bit from what they'd done in the previous weeks. And it's a real opportunity loss for the Warriors. You know, I hope they straighten up a bit. And you know, I thought Cody kind of looked a little uncomfortable, and you know, he sort of played like it.
He certainly did, and of course, I felt Sean O'Sullivan had a very good game. I felt he was quite good, but they really missed, of course, Fanua Blake out for a certain most of the season. That's a big loss for the Warriors because he was really making a huge difference there at the Warriors. But yeah, it's to me, Bluey, if the Warriors want to be serious, they cannot afford to drop games like this because they become crucial at towards the end of the season, where you're thinking, how we might have, if we'd have won that game, we could have been, this could be the difference between 11th and 7th place.
Oh, 100%, you know, and I think, you know, you get a penalty by the post when it's 6-all, you know, what, 30-odd minutes into the game when you take the twos. Because you sort of, you know, if you're up, if it's 12-all or 18-all, where you're going, oh, well, points are being scored, you carry on. But if it's just 6 apiece, you take the points. And because you just, you got to have that mindset of win at all costs. So, you know, you do whatever it takes. And So for the Warriors, you know, they'll really be kicking themselves on that one, and so they should. And yeah, you know, they're coming up against another tricky side, you know, a club that they've had troubles with in the past. St George coming up this Sunday, yeah.
And of course St George, I tell you something, they probably weren't in a lot of people's top eight, but I tell you something right now, they're actually proving themselves to look like genuine. They're definitely contenders for the top eight, maybe even contenders for the top four.
Well, yeah, in the eight, what I liked about St George is, offensively anyway, they kept it pretty simple. It's where the Warriors were a couple of weeks ago. They kept it pretty simple. They don't throw it around all that much. They concentrate on, you know, creating momentum by getting forward. And, you know, they're defending really well. So whether, you know, time will tell with them. I mean, they're on a really good run. So it's, you know, it's a really big test for the Warriors going there. They're going to have to, you know, roll up their sleeves, put the boiler suits on and play real tough, because that's what the Dragons are doing at the moment. They're doing it really well. They understand what works for them. And they're sticking to it, and that's where the Warriors have got to get to. They've got to know what works for them and stick to it.
Certainly do, Bluey. Well, let's do a quick rundown of some of the games at the weekend. Of course, the Thursday game, Rabbitohs 35, Broncos 6. Latrell Mitchell was absolutely brilliant, but great combination between Adam Reynolds and Benji Marshall. Really, them two look like they could turn into a real good settled combination for Wayne Bennett at the Rabbitohs.
Oh, 100%. I mean, to have the caliber of Benji be able to jump in, and he was excellent. Like, his strategies, his scheme was just outstanding. And that, when you got somebody that can do that, that frees up Adam Reynolds to be able to sort of make his mark, you know, or given the situation he is in the re-signing at the Rabbitohs. So he was able to sort of get a point across. But I thought it come off the back of Benji, and gee, there'll be some clubs kicking themselves where they could have got a bargain deal having a guy who's going to go down as one of New Zealand's you know, great legends. You know, to have a guy like that go in, I mean, it's a master stroke from Sels and Wayne Bennett, and they're the team to beat.
They certainly are. And, of course, the Panthers were, well, they're proving that how good they are. That last season was no fluke at all. They're already talking about Nathan Cleary-Luai and Luai combination as a potential State of Origin combination. I really hope Luai chooses the Kiwis over State of Origin. That's just my personal views. But they were brilliant against the Raiders, 30 points to 10. The result that I also saw at the weekend was, David, the signings which the Gold Coast have made, now they beat the Knights 42-16. That's they're beginning to make a bit of a statement in this competition. Of course, Ryan Pappenhausen show 52, the Bulldogs 18, problems at the Bulldogs, real big problems at the Bulldogs, but Pappenhausen proves what a fantastic player he is.
Yeah, he certainly does, and yeah, you know, just no substitute for speed, is there? And, you know, and he's just got that wonderful anticipation. He's working really hard to utilise his speed. I think with the Panthers, the thing that's really impressing me this year with them is their defence. They're ruthless in their defence. They're really working really hard. Offensively, they're the same as last year. They're just so hard to tackle. They have so many players in their team that are hard to tackle. And they're getting steered around beautifully by young Cleary, and they're playing, you know, playing some really good football. And the Storm, they're the same old Storm. Really looking forward to the match with the Storm v Roosters. That'll be a classic this Friday, I think it is.
Yeah, well, that could be a game of the round, which we'll talk about. We'll just wrap up the rest of the scores there, Bluey. Roosters, 26-18 over the Sharks. This young kid, Sam Walker, looks like he could be the goods. And, of course, Tigers left it a bit late against against the Cowboys. Cowboys winning 34-30, and the Dragons 26, the Eels 12, and the Dragons are the Warriors' next opponent. So just looking at some of these scores, the Warriors are still realistically are still in the hunt, as we all know, but, you know, really will need a good performance against the Dragons, because that could, it's going to be crucial for their season going ahead.
Yeah, it will be. And plus, you know, that getting back up off the canvas, so to speak, you know, because, yeah, it's a given. People feel like the Warriors should have gone and nailed that game. You know, given the form of Manly, the form of the Warriors, and you're just thinking, you know, they go and nail that. Well, they have to against St. George. Now, this, like I say, it's a banana skin, this game. Always has been. For some reason, Warriors have struggled against Dragons over the years. So, the Dragons were always good at playing really direct and playing short sides, and it was hard to go to Wollongong when they played there. But they need to straighten up and they need to get really physical. It's the only way you can beat the Dragons is you've got to match that physicality. And obviously, you know, you're trying to win field position and then create opportunities off the back of that. So hopefully the Warriors rise up, because they can, you know, go and beat the Dragons. At the Dragons, well, you know, you forget about the Manly game. You really do, because it's so important this week.
Anyway, let's go for our game of the round. I'll let you pick first, Bluey. It is the Roosters versus the Storm. Now, you go first, Bluey, because what was that game last week? I couldn't remember. Did you get one?
I can't remember either.
Oh, sorry.
Look, on that game, I'll head to the Storm.
That's cool.
Yeah, just think that Roosters, you know, I thought young Sam Walker's, you know, he's going to be a revelation. They're going, well, I think the Storm are probably playing a little bit better quality of game at this present moment.
It certainly is. Well, I'll take the Roosters, and hopefully we can get, you know, one on the board, because, you know, I'm trying to make it fair here, Bluey, so I can keep you on as a correspondent. But anyway, Bluey,
no, I'll just get you a keg.
If you saw Seven Sharp, many would say I look like a keg at the moment. So after the appearance on Seven Sharp, so I wouldn't say that. Hey, we'll just wrap it up. Bluey, we'll catch up next week. Thanks so much for your contribution. It's always great having a bit of a chat and a bit of a laugh. So we'll catch up next week. Have a
good
great week,
Piggy. Have a good day, mate.
Yeah, cheers, Bluey, mate. Bluey McLennan, what a good bloke. Anyway, he's back. Unfortunately, he's back. McNeice is back. He's on next. Ooh, I say Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Review. Quick transfer. Wow. He's been away for the last few weeks. One week I gave him a rest because we were covering America's Cup. Other weeks he's had meetings, he's had a bit of illness, and I brought in some great people, but everyone keeps on messaging me. Oh, those people were great, but when's McNeice back? When's he back? And yes, he's back today, and very, very good afternoon to Brendan McNeice. Good afternoon, Brendan, and welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Hey, thanks a million for that. I'll accept that introduction.
You will accept that introduction because we've got a bit to speak about today, and of course in the old EPL, wow, have to say that Leeds beat Manchester City, but the battle to get into the four Champions League is really hotting up, and of course some interesting results over the weekend.
Absolutely, West Ham gained a vital 3 points over Leicester to continue what, you know, most would say is an unlikely but nonetheless credible assault on a top four finish, and they are right in there in the logjam which now exists for third and fourth. But Eamon, if you're assuming that City and United have got one and two stitched up, you know, you've got Leicester, West Ham, Chelsea, Liverpool, all in with viable chances, and Everton are not completely out of it with two games in hand either. And but I see your team, Manchester United, absolutely. I think put the final death nail in Tottenham's coffin this morning.
They certainly did, and I tell you what, I looked at the table. We've had about 9 draws. Even if we got, you imagine if those some of those draws had become wins, we would be challenging Manchester City.
No doubt. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And Solskjaer, I don't know whether you've read, but there's a row brewing in the UK along the old racism taunt again that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer racially abused the Tottenham midfielder son by calling him son, S-O-N. If he was my son, after diving he would go to bed with an empty tummy. And apparently now that's being construed by Mourinho as racial abuse.
You can't say anything these days, and that's the way it is. I'd rather not comment on that one because that one becomes a difficult one. Basically, it just becomes a difficult one to say. But
I suppose on the good side is that Joe Wheeler wasn't commentating on the Masters this morning.
Thank God. Yeah. Okay, well, stop there. But hey, well matches armor. Well, what a good win on the Masters, wasn't there?
Absolutely superb, and I think even the most ardent of America's Cup commentators would have really admired his sky blue trousers.
Yes.
some of those outfits they wear around Augusta are definitely flamboyant, to say the least. But no, well done. They held his nerve. There was a few went into the water on the back nine after a main corner, and it was a good battle down the straight with the young American. But first Japanese player to win the U.S. Masters. I mean, he is a talent, and who would say it's going to be his last?
Who would say? He is a good player. He's been around the PGA for a while, and he's got the odd one here and there. He's always been in the top 10, Brendan, and he's basically he's been one of the players which has been, you know, which you've got to keep an eye on. You get one Masters, who says that he can't win another major? You know, you start off with one.
Well, it took him 32 attempts at a major to get this one. I don't think it'll be 32 before he gets the next one. But we've digressed off the football. We've digressed off the football. I wanted to cover the relegation zone in the Premier League.
Okay.
No worries. Because if you look down at the southern end of the table, it looks like Sheffield United and West Brom
they're gone.
So and Fulham, and it was pretty highly likely Fulham will be joining them in the second team next year. Although Burnley, Brighton, and Newcastle, they've got to sleep with one eye open. They're not totally safe yet.
They certainly are, and they certainly are not. And of course, Burnley don't have a good run in, neither do Brighton. I think Newcastle have a decent run in, but you know, there's a potential there that is still, as in the famous words of Sir Alex Ferguson, "squeaky bum time" for those three teams.
Yeah, well, there's a big match coming up next week. It doesn't sound like a big match, but it will be a big match. But at both ends of the table, with Brighton playing Everton, Everton desperately need the 3 points to stay within any chance of reaching the top four. And Brighton don't need to lose, otherwise they could be just dragged right into a relegation battle.
Oh, yeah. And as you know, at the beginning of the season, I actually picked them to be relegated.
Well, we know how good you are at picking after picking the America's Cup 7-3.
Oh, yeah,
so, like, you know, you're like your third income Nostradamus.
I am indeed, and of course, you know, picking America's Cups, being on national TV, you know, like, you know, I'm in with the state broadcaster now. Well, you know, I'm got a foot in the door, so you know, yeah, I can go. Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Hillary. How are you? You know.
Yeah, well, you'd be some addition to the seven sharp team. You'd be like seven blunt.
Or seven short in my case.
seven short and stroppy.
Yeah.
So, look, being like we can't get away from Scotland. Celtic returned to some sort of form, giving Livingstone an old-fashioned thump and 6-0 ahead of next Saturday's Scottish Cup tie, for all the ironic reasons in the world, looks as if it's going to be postponed because of Prince Philip's funeral. So you can imagine how that's endeared the Celtic fans.
I know where you're going to go.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm just saying that the match was scheduled for Saturday, but it's not going to happen now because of Prince Philip's funeral. And what I'm saying is that it hasn't necessarily endeared the Scottish Football Association to the Celtic fans who want the game to go ahead as scheduled.
So anyway,
I agree with them. It's only a funeral. Celtic, under no circumstances, will want the cup to follow the league title down the road across the city to Ibrox. So this is going to be a big, big game. So it looks as if it's going to go ahead on the Sunday now, which is not as user-friendly for us Celtic fans in New Zealand, which means that Monday's always a bit of a long day. Also in Scotland, Celtic are finally expected to announce the appointment of former Bournemouth manager Eddie Howe for the top job at Celtic Park this week. There's been prolonged negotiations this week in relation to Eddie's digging his feet in. The deal's almost done, but Eddie wants to bring his backroom staff from Bournemouth with him, and the Celtic board want to keep a few of the Celtic stalwarts on, so that they're just finding out who's going to be in the final management squad. But it's expected to be announced this week. So looking forward to that, to getting a Premier League manager at Celtic.
She's
all go. But like when you talk about all go, Eamon, you know, what is it going to be all go? You know, for the rest of the year, is the Olympics going to go ahead?
The Olympics looks like it's going ahead. Mr. Watson, as you know, Mark Watson, our panellist, he signed contract, so he will be covering the Olympics for Sky TV. So hopefully he becomes our man in Japan. So I think things will go ahead. Obviously, the big news is the Trans-Tasman bubble getting away from sports. But I've thought about something, Brendan, an opportunity for both of us to spread our network out. What do you reckon we do? We do a Trans-Tasman bubble tour, a rugby, racing and beer tour.
Absolutely. What time do we start?
well, there's going to be criteria. You're going to like rugby, you're going to like racing, and you're going to drink a lot of beer.
Well, I've got the trifecta.
Well, I think you're definitely an I'm in, but then we'll have to find a very reputable travel company, we'll make it, the first 10 people we can find, they're part of the tour. We might go to Sydney for the weekend if there's a good race meeting there and there's a rugby game, and we could visit one of the nice breweries in Sydney and we could have a lot of fun.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. Count me in. Absolutely. And the other thing, Eamon, Euro 2021.
Yep.
So we're going ahead with that?
I reckon we are, yeah. I reckon that's going to go ahead. I think it will be played it's going to be played in the United Kingdom and Ireland. For the simple reason is that it looks like, and, you know, this is a sports show, but we haven't speak about health things. It looks like the UK finally may have, with the vaccines that have been rolled out in the United Kingdom, may have finally got the COVID situation sort of
Yeah, I think the light at the end of the tunnel, thankfully, and I can sort of feel it. I was listening to the Masters on the BBC, actually, coming into work this morning, and it was good to hear that. Although a little muted, the old Sunday Amen Corner roar at Augusta, and it sort of puts a tingle down your spine, and you think, I can't wait to hear Old Trafford, I can't wait to hear Celtic Park, I can't wait to hear the Cup in full voice, and all of those sorts of things. And then the other one on top of that, like, I just really don't want the Fury Joshua fight to go ahead until they get a crowd, because it would just be a travesty for a fight of that magnitude to go ahead. And apparently now Fury's put some sort of doubts in around whether it's actually going to go ahead or not.
You know, it's boxing, you know there's going to be a lot of posturing, you know, the usual sort of thing. I don't like you, no, I don't want that bouncer glove. Yeah, this happens all the time, Brendan, you know, we're grown men, we've seen a lot in our lifetime. We've done a lot in our lifetime, and some we've been highly embarrassed by, but...
Absolutely, but they keep asking us back.
Yeah, I know. More the fool them.
Absolutely. But, that'll be a great fight. One of the sadder things that I heard, that they're thinking of taking it to Saudi Arabia. Boxing is like racing. It goes hand in hand. We're having, a couple of bevvies. And, you can imagine it, in a really staid sort of arena in Saudi Arabia with no atmosphere. It would be sacrilegious. As opposed to having a Wembley Stadium, 110,000, people who'd been, enjoying themselves all day. Like, you could imagine the atmosphere, a sweet Caroline coming on. Well, can you imagine? It just doesn't need to be in a convention centre in Riyadh.
It certainly doesn't, Brendan. Well, I tell you what, thank you as per usual. It's great to have you back on the show, you have been missed, and so we'll catch up again next week, and we'll have a lot to talk about, and maybe we could see some a clear light at the tunnel for the top four and the relegation in the EPL.
And hopefully Celtic are on the way to retaining the Scottish Cup.
Oh, absolutely, Brendan. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. My mates at the Celtic Supporters Club, they love me.
I'm sure they do.
Well, I have to say, a pleasure has been entirely yours, Brendan. Goodbye.
You're a tough man.
That was Brendan McNeice, so it's great to have him back, actually. He adds a bit of fun and comedy and a bit of bickering, so we've got the panel up next, so we'll play a bit of music. Welcome everyone back to the Westprint Sports Review here on Planet FM. And of course, this is the sensible part of the show. It is the panel. And when I was on public transport going past Great North Road, I saw a vision in front of me of a silver-haired man. And with people just listening to every word he said, please welcome to the show the silver tongue, silver fox, Sean Summerfield.
Jeez, Raymond. Mate, they weren't listening to me. They were looking at the flash cars.
Yeah, I think so too. And, of course, we can't have a show without this man. The man, the legend, and the hopeless romantic, Mark Watson. Good afternoon, Mark.
Afternoon, Eamon. Afternoon to you, Sean.
G'day, mate.
Oh, well, we might as well kick it off. What do you guys think of this golden point in Super Rugby? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Have you guys got an opinion? Because I know both of you do have strong opinions on this. So we'll kick it off with you. Who wants to go first, Mr. Watson?
Well, look, I'll jump in here first. Look, I don't like it. I think a draw is a draw. I think there are enough sort of, you know, we've already got bonus points for tries being scored. And then, you know, even award the losers if you get within 7 points and then suddenly a bonus point comes along. Look, it can't be sorted out after 80 minutes. It's a draw. That's the way it's always been. Me, this is sort of rugby trying to find a way of making the game more popular. You're not going to make the game more popular or bring it back to the golden days by bringing in little sort of novelty things like this. You know, damage was done a few years ago when the likes of Hansen were pulling our marquee players out of Super Rugby and, you know, to go into All Black camps and World Cup training camps, sort of sending a message to, you know, the New Zealand rugby fan that, well, you know, we take Super Rugby seriously, but All Blacks is still the only thing we really take seriously. And I just think that, you know, the game is in a bit of trouble, and I'm not sure that bastardising it, if I can use that term, is necessarily a way of sort of addressing maybe some of the bigger issues.
Maybe bastardising stronger than contriving a result, I think, Mark. And the look, I can see the merit in having a result, and it's, you know, draws are few and far between, really, in rugby. And the thing is, though, there's no final. It's not like getting second or third by a close margin means much in this competition. You know, you're not going to sneak into the final or anything like that because there isn't one. So I don't think a draw matters. You know, it doesn't really help anyone. That said, hey, if it's the same for everybody, not as harsh as the count back at the Cricket World Cup, you know what I mean? Those sort of things, and, you know, I'd rather it was that than a... Because I think in the Rugby World Cup final, if it keeps going, doesn't it count back to the number of penalties or cards and penalties and all sorts? I think you need a legal degree to work out the result. I mean, fascinating too, that two golden points on one weekend. Brilliant that the Chiefs have gone from being the bad news bears to being, contenders had to be in the final, but I just think there's some cool things happening there. But the problem is that, you know, based on you've only got to do a couple of good moves and you're lining up for a drop goal, so it's sort of, you know, it's not exactly a thrilling finish, so I don't think it's achieving that part of it. But hey, that's just where I'm coming from.
Yep, I have to agree with you. So just on that, there is a final. There will be a final, and I'll go.
Is there?
Yeah, there certainly is. You know, I just.
Oh God! Well, clearly you're speaking to experts now, Eamon.
Oh, absolutely. But we have you on for your vocal cords and your wonderful personality.
I thought it was like last year. Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay, mate. That's okay.
I think they brought in two rounds, didn't they? And they said they will have a final, but they won't be a top four. It'll just be the top two teams.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've never been a big one in this sort of rewarding teams for losing either or scoring four tries. I mean, you take a ground like, say, you go down to, let's say you get a really good Highlanders team who's going to play, you know, the home games. I mean, you look at the surface down there, it's absolutely beautiful, and, you know, you're always going to get good running rugby, aren't you? And then you can go to some other grounds where it's really wet and slippery, and what are the chances of scoring four tries some days, you know, when the conditions are just appalling? And it's never made a lot of sense to me, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't like to see the extra points. You know, you get a team that finishes ahead of another team, yet they haven't won as many games.
Yeah, but look, we've talked, Mark, about the way, you know, they're trying to make rugby attractive, and I'm thinking, for most of rugby's history, it hasn't been about making it attractive. It's what it stood for, what its place was as a sport. And there were games that were won 3-0. And they were thrilling games because just down to it being, you know, an incredible encounter. It might involve forward muscle. You know, it and they've tried to make it this show. And I think they've alienated a lot of people. Yes, they've won some fans, but they're not loyal fans. They're there for the sex appeal, for the wow factor. They're not the ones that keep coming back. So, yeah, I think there is you're on something where you're saying there's a bit of trouble there. And it's a little bit like, I don't know, I'm probably not as harsh as this, but, you know, moving around the deck chairs on the Titanic, you know, it's you know, guys, that's not the stuff that's broken, you know? Don't fiddle around with that. It's okay. The winner's the winner, or the draw, but I don't know. I think they're just trying to harden some of these other things, and if it's contrived, you start to lose the sort of the honesty and integrity of the game.
Certainly does. Now we might as well move on. The Masters, Mark, did you have a quick look at the Masters today?
Yeah, look, I've said this before. I always find the back nine on the final day of all the majors some of the most compelling sport. Really happy for Matsuyama, the Japanese player. I sort of spent 3 years when I was young, and you know how big golf is over there. In fact, I'm just surprised that he's the first sort of Japanese golfer to sort of win a major, because it hasn't been a good golf that's come out of there. But I like the way he just carried himself. I like the way he can box himself. I thought the crowd really got behind him too. And, yeah, no, it's just, look, it's good for the game of golf in Asia, isn't it? It's just good for the game. You know, it was probably... maybe didn't quite have that climactic finish that we sometimes like, where you see a golfer getting the yips and, you know, somebody's on that big run, and it, you know, can often come down to a sort of, you know, what do they call it, amen corner on 13th plus. But yeah, look, it's just nice to see some golf in these very, very strange times.
Oh, look, and isn't it fantastic? You know, that sport again, and yeah, Japan, an absolute golf mad nation. Incredible to think that they hadn't done this already. And I see this talk now. They reckon this guy could become a billionaire. This will mean so much in Japan.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to the boys I drink coffee with this morning, and I was saying, yeah, I can tell you what, it'll be interesting to see what the endorsements are for this guy, because you're right. And I say, having lived up there, yeah, I mean, they love their sport and stuff, but golf is just fanatical on it. And, you know, to conquer, to take the green jacket, I mean, you know, I think arguably it's the golf tournament everyone wants to win more so than the other three. I'll even put it ahead of the Open, you know. And, But, you know, the other thing he's got to be careful of too, and we've seen it with a number of golfers, so you win the big, big one, then suddenly the business of it comes in, and then, you know... Yeah, is the clarity the same going forward, because you've got, you know, so many sort of the business pressures on and the expectation that goes with it. So it'll be an interesting time to see how things go for him over the next 2 years with the way Japan will bestow the status upon him.
Yeah, look, and just for any listeners, Eamon, we're unaware of it. In Japan, the obsession for golf is such that people will actually book a time at a driving range at 11 p.m. at night, because that's the only time they could go and hit balls.
Yeah,
it's almost impossible to join a golf club. It is just the passion and desire to play. We are so spoiled in this nation, but there, it's just nuts.
And of course, go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
I was going to say, Eamon, because this is something you could practice, mate. But when I was living up there, young guys were trying to impress girls. True, this would be a...
I'm not a young guy, Mark, so keep going.
A bit of a pick-up line, but more of a bit of pick-up theatre. Young guys around young, pretty girls would be there practicing their golf swing, you know, working through the motion, and that was trying to impress the young ladies. There you go.
And let them know that you're a member of a golf club.
Oh, yeah.
And you can swing a golf club, and that there's, you know, future riches available.
Yeah, well...
Hey, Eamon.
Yeah?
Just made me think, do rugby and then golf, and talking, is golf is one of these sports that it does depend on a whole lot of sporting honesty and sporting spirit and all these sort of things and etiquette.
Yes.
Really fascinated. I'm keen to get your thoughts from both of you on this the move East Coast Ngāti Porou Rugby did on the weekend, cancelling a round of rugby because of abusive behaviour from fans on the sideline. I personally think it should be lauded. It's amazing that they've done this.
You don't mind if I go first on this one, Mark? Or do you want to go first?
Go for it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I read that article, and you know, I would not want to be a rugby ref in that area because it is, if you make the wrong decision, it can be dangerous. But it should be an example for all standards of rugby, and that just not just in the East Coast, it's standards in Auckland. Like, I've been to games and I've been abused as a manager by supporters, but I've seen abuse at junior games, and it's just not tolerated. We've still got to have good standard. Now, I'm probably the worst offender because the odd time I like to give my opinion to the referees on how he's doing. But I think as I've got older and matured, I think I've just what I've done is you don't need to abuse them because they're out there, they're volunteering their time, and you've got to give them the credit they deserve.
I'm just really envious that these people that throw the abuse, life must just be so good for them because if all they've got to worry about is a couple of bad decisions from a referee, then life must be pretty good, isn't it? But I've gone to games and stuff, and I've got to be honest, you know, I've sometimes come away and been a little bit embarrassed maybe with my own sort of sideline behaviour at times. But like I say, as you get older, you do mature. But look, sport, it can be so sort of emotive at times, can't it?
Stuff I've seen in netball courts at Tapai Place in Auckland, I tell you, a 9-year-old's playing. I'll quickly tell you guys a very quick story. 8 years old, playing in Christchurch, Hagley Park, Marist Under-9s against Linwood. I scored my first ever try, and I was the best thing that ever happened to me. Frosty morning in Christchurch, and I was average. Don't worry about that. And but anyway, at half time, the ref walked off. It was a Māori ref, and I didn't get what was going on. But the Linwood supporters had been abusing the heck out of this guy racially. And I it was the year before the Springbok tour. I didn't know what racism was or anything. It got printed up in the press. It was a big story. And my try never got counted because we won by default. That's why I was gutted about it. It was only a few years later I realised what happened. This is in 1980. And, you know, it's only got worse. And it just made me think at that moment, this poor guy just walked off because he was being abused. I'm just glad it wasn't any of the families from the Marist team because I'd have probably worn that guilt for the rest of my life.
I have to say, just on that, you know, like, I've heard some dreadful things on sidelines, and I have to say, you know, it's not on, and some of the parents, sometimes they really need to have a good look at themselves too.
It's just a game. They're just your kids.
Yeah.
And don't live through them, for God's sakes.
Let them enjoy themselves, yeah. Maybe we're all three of us are old, middle-aged, you know, more calmer now, aren't we, Mark?
The
whole thing, some of us has-beens or never wases or whatever.
Yeah, well, I'm in the never-was, yeah.
But you're with people and you see them sort of living through their kids, and it's horrendous. The pressure and then the way things is taken out of proportion, you know? And to me, it takes away the joy of sport because come from the joy of it.
Never seen a lead athlete at the age of 8, 9, 10 or 11.
Yeah. No, exactly.
If you're planning for your kid to be an All Black by the age of 6 or 7, I think you need to have a quick reality check. And this is coming from three very calm men.
Now,
don't mention Lydia Ko in golf. Oh, sorry, Mark. Yeah.
I was just going to say, just before we do go, I just wanted to acknowledge Lewis Clairbert, this swimmer out of Wellington. Because, you know, reinforces qualification for the Tokyo Olympics, breaking the New Zealand records for the 400 individual medley, 200 individual medley. Second fastest time in the world for 400 AM this year. Bronze medalist at the World Championships, bronze medalist at the Commonwealth Games. Talking to those within swimming, know guy could be genuinely that athlete that breaks on drought in the pool at the Olympic Games since we last won a medal back in 1996. So just really wanted to acknowledge his
performance.
Oh, home's coach Gary Hollywood out of Wellington.
Excellent. I'll tell you something, and we haven't had a medal since then. Well, gentlemen, I have, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed both your input into today, and we hope that we can do this again next week, unless I win lotto. But I'll leave.